I was born bold.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Tadej Pogacar, the final little sprint. He's going to beat Tom Dumoulin by nearly 1 minute 30 seconds. Pogacar reaches the finish line now, and he is going to hit the line in 55-55. Pogacar wins the stage, and now he can wait and see if he wins the Tour de France.
Well, he did indeed. There's no question about that. It was an unbelievable time trial for him to get up and do that. And we will talk about him, and I'm sure our next guest will laud him. But we're also super excited about the fact that the Australian Richie Porte has become just the second Aussie to stand on the podium at the Tour de France. So we only go to one man when we want to talk cycling. And we're very, very fortunate that he takes our call. Phil Liggett, the voice of cycling, joins us. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you very much. I'll always take your call. You know that.
we did. We don't want to push the friendship. We had a great long chat with you only a couple of weeks ago, but it was opportune to touch base again because it was a fantastic Tour de France, and we've got an Aussie sitting up there in the top three.
Yes, and as always, Richie Porte always does it the hard way. As you know, he's left on stage nine with bad crashes over the last few years. Same stage, you're always happy when he gets through stage nine. Well, now he's got through stage 21, and tonight he stepped on the podium in Paris. So delighted, the end of a super 3 weeks for him, because as you know, his wife gave birth to their second child, Eloise, and Gemma, I think she laid the law down. If you're going to the Tour de France when I'm giving birth, you better do something, otherwise don't bother coming home. I think that drove him on to finishing third.
Hey, Phil, what a performance from Richie Porte. I'm just reading here from his parents. I think it's his mum that said that he didn't get a bike until he was 15 or 16 years of age.
Yeah, it's true, but he was a triathlete before he became a cyclist. But he's built so light. He's like the kid who won today. He's a little bit heavier now because Pogacar really is a youngster, 21 today, your time. And I think Richie has adapted to the sport. He started out helping others win the Tour, like Chris Froome. But then he realised his talent. He went to a team where he could lead the team. During this Tour, he said this is the end of his period of being a team leader. He doesn't like the pressure, I don't think. He doesn't like the limelight so much. He's going to the top team, Ineos, next year, where he won't be a leader. And I doubt he'll be shooting at a place on the podium in the Tour de France. This is his last chance. And he's come really good, really good.
What sort of a performance is it? Can you just give us sort of an indication? 22-year-old winning in his first Tour de France. What sort of a performance is that?
I mean, the kid doesn't know his strength. I first came up against him this time last year when it was a normal racing season and I was commentating on the Tour of Spain, which is still to come. And he became the youngest rider to stand on the podium. He finished third in that race, in Richie's position today, or yesterday in your case. And I think that all he wanted to do was get a result. And the fact is, he's walked away from the Tour de France in the last day of his 21st year as the only cyclist to win the white jersey as the best young rider, the King of the Mountains jersey as the champion of the mountains, and the yellow jersey as a winner of the Tour de France. All he could do was walk up and down the Champs-Élysées this afternoon with his mask on, shaking his head. He was walking in a cloud. He had no idea what it meant. When he wakes up tomorrow, he's a year older, and he realised he's the champion of the Tour.
And Phil, I don't want to be too crass, but what sort of riches would come his way on the back of this? I mean, would this set him up for life financially, or is it not? Is that not the case?
Well, his first prize is €500,000, which I don't know what that converts in Aussie dollars, but it's a lot of money. The money is shared amongst the team. It's all about the team. He'll get the biggest chunk, of course, but more than that. They always say the winner of the Tour de France gives his money to his teammates who got him around France, because now he can make a lot of money. And in his own country, where cycling was a little-known sport, he and the rider who finished second, who led the race for 2 weeks, Roglic, these two guys are Slovenian. They have become huge superstars at the highest level in their own country. Last night, when Pogačar got the lead, the president of Slovenia hoisted a yellow flag on the palace to fly alongside the Slovenian flag. Today, they were flying into Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris in their droves. I don't know how they got the tickets because it's difficult to get into France. They were on the planes. I've got photographs of them on the planes. And on the Champs-Élysées, the Slovenian flags were there in huge numbers when there was a restricted audience as well. He is a total superstar, as indeed is Roglic too, who finished second.
And he was all class, wasn't he, Roglic, as the time trial played out and the realisation dawned on him that he was had led for so much of this race, and then to see his team or his fellow countrymen go past him, he just handled it with all class.
Totally. He was the leader for 12 days. He never looked like losing this race. On a normal tour with no time trial the day before we finished in Paris, he will be the winner tonight. But the time trial is, we call it the race of truth. One-on-one, you race the race. If you're good, you win. If you're not, you lose. And the kid, Pogačar, is 8 years younger than Roglic. He won. The first thing that Roglic did in his yellow jersey, which he's now lost, was walk across in the Vosges Mountains yesterday to congratulate Tadej Pogačar. The two kids are deadly rivals on rival teams, but they are such close friends because both of them were inspired for the victory for their country. They weren't racing for themselves.
Hey, Phil, we've debated this here in Australia. Our AFL competition, which is our football competition here, got off to a...
Know it well.
Yes, well, of course you do. You've got friends who play. It got off to a slow start, and then it's sort of been a condensed season, and we've debated whether or not there should be an asterisk alongside whoever wins the premiership this year. What about with this Tour de France because of all the complications and the late start to it? Should there be an asterisk against this in any way?
No, absolutely not. The Tour de France, yes, it's never been held in September before, ever since it was starting in 1903. Always the month of July, always finished in Paris. Everybody was saying, if the Tour de France doesn't go ahead, then the cycling season will take such a dive, it may not recover next year. Well, the government of France, combined with the organisation, they went through very carefully the COVID protocols, and they put them into action. These riders have been in a bubble for 5 days before the tour started. They've not been near anybody. They've had 900 tests during the race. They've all been negative. The irony is, the only positive was the organizer of the Tour de France, because he greeted all the VIPs. He was off the race for 7 days, and he returned. No, this race had to happen for France, and because France is a hotspot. France is getting 13,000 to 15,000 new cases every day, and yet they've run this race and they finished it. It's a huge triumph in every way.
Hey, Phil, just quickly before we let you go, last time that you're on with us, we spoke of your love of bird watching. I went up the little river near my place the other day and I saw a magnificent sea eagle. Now, the next time you're out here in Melbourne, Australia, I'd like to take you up the river, the Macalester River in the Tinny, and do some bird watching. Are you on for that?
I'm on for that. I tell you, those seagulls are pretty big birds, aren't they?
Magnificent. Huge. Yeah.
And then, Phil, you're going to come to my place and I'm going to show you a couple of angry plovers that have been running around. So you're going to be busy next time you're in Australia.
They're probably hooded plovers. They're greatly endangered. Keep the dogs off the beach when they're laying their eggs.
We will indeed. So good to talk to you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, guys.
What a great man, Phil Liggett, joining us there on the back of another very successful Tour de France. And good to have you back, Wisp. I tell you, I missed you there for a while, though. It was warming to the solo, Garrity.
I was listening to it on the way in. You do need somebody alongside you.
Footy next, coming up after the 7 o'clock news.